hour two on a Thursday. That means Mike Grimm, Gopher play-by-play for the Learfield Radio Sports Network, joining the program now. Mike, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Biggest test of the night for the Gophers tonight. My oh my, I don't even know what to say. It's going to be a tough one tonight, Mike.
Yeah, it is. And particularly you got Dawson Garcia, who's questionable. He's got some sort of a hip injury, it sounds like, or something to do with that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of us thought he took one where you really don't want to take one, and maybe the replay showed that, but that's not. Ben Johnson on his radio show on Tuesday said it wasn't that spot, but it's a spot down and by the hip. And so who knows if he'll play tonight or not. If he doesn't play, then the tall task gets even taller, no pun intended, with Zach Edey, who's 7'4". It'll be a tough one. I mean, this is one you look on the schedule and you're like, well, that is not going to be easy, and it's probably unlikely you're going to get the win. Purdue has lost only twice all year. Both have been on the road. They're very good in this building. That said, Northwestern took them to overtime and had the ball in regulation tied, and Boo Booey had a shot to win it and missed, and they went to overtime, and then Northwestern, you know, couldn't score a basket in the overtime. So, you know, they're not perfect. Talking about Purdue, the Gophers will, if they're going to win this game, will have to figure out a way to limit Edey. And to me, the biggest thing is, and honestly, this is just a lot to do with the basketball gods more than anything. You just have to hope Purdue misses some shots, particularly some threes, because they're a good three-point shooting team. And you're not going to be able to guard at all. With Edey, you're probably going to have to collapse a little bit, which is going to free some guys up. He's so tall, he sees through a double team. And so, you know, the way it happens is if Minnesota shoots like they did in the first 25 minutes against Iowa and sustains that for a whole game, and Purdue doesn't shoot great, then you know, you've got a shot. And that's not a knock on Minnesota and its talent, because Purdue's beaten everybody at home. So, you're right. It's going to be a hard fight, but they play them for a reason. And like I said, Purdue has lost twice, and they've had some close calls at home. You know, they you know, they haven't been blowing everybody out, although they've blown a lot of people out. So we'll see what happens tonight. You know, and then you look at the schedule, and you go into a stretch where, you know, you've got some winnable games yet here on the docket. So, if nothing else, you hope that you can build some, you know, if you play a nice tight game, maybe you got a shot. And even if not, if it's a nice tight game, maybe you build some confidence in that, hey, we can hang with the very best.
I just want to touch on Iowa really briefly. And Dawson Garcia getting hurt for the remainder of that second half really was a big reason, I think, why the Gophers sort of collapsed there. But what did you sort of see with these bad habits sort of creeping back up in that second half with Iowa, where they just let this one slip away?
Yeah, it was a tough game. You know, it's a shame, because for the first 25 minutes of that game, they played their best basketball of the season. And a lot of that has to do with simply making shots. They were 11 for 15 at one point from three. And all of a sudden you're up 20. And to me, it was a little unlucky. And again, I'm not trying to poo-poo the idea that, that they didn't play great defense. Clearly they did, and Iowa got a bunch of transition buckets and they got red hot. But I will say, in most games, if you know, you build up a 20-point cushion, I mean, 20-point leads in the NBA seems like, you know, that's nothing. It's almost nightly somebody blows a 20-point lead and loses, right? In college basketball, a little different. So that said, most of the time, you're going to weather that. It just so happened that it just, you know, it went into a combination of two things. One, Minnesota went ice cold. They were 4 for their last 20 from the floor after shooting lights out for the first 25 minutes. They were, after going 11 for 15 from 3, they finished 1 for 11 from 3. Even that, you're up 20, you can probably survive it and limp home with the win if Iowa just plays normal. But they scored on 8 straight possessions and scored 16 straight points. And some of that's your defense, yes, but some of it's just, you know, look, Iowa scored 6 points in the final 9 minutes of their loss last night at Maryland and blew that game. You know, what's the difference? I mean, sometimes it's just an unlucky situation. They got hot, Minnesota got cold, and it stinks. And I've said forever, I joke with Ben Johnson about this sometimes off the air, but I'm like, you know, we can sit here on your coach's show for an hour, and you guys as coaches can sit in your meeting room and film room and break it down and say, this is why this happened and this is why that happened. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is, the Gophers got cold and they got hot at the wrong time, and the 20-point lead was negated. And that stinks if you're the team that blows the 20-point lead. And for Minnesota, they've done that twice now. Remember, they lost to Missouri, and that was an even more unlikely game because Minnesota had a lead of 20 in that game with 9 minutes to go. And so it happens. Now, on the flip side, Minnesota was down by 20 against Penn State and won. Minnesota was down by 20. I think it was 17, actually, against Nebraska and won. So sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens, and probably over the course of a year, that stuff kind of evens out. And as they say, you are who your record says you are, and Minnesota's 15-8. That's probably about where they should be.
Yeah, sometimes it's just about if the ball goes through the cylinder. Talking with Minnesota Gopher radio play-by-play broadcaster Mike Grimm of the Learfield Radio Sports Network. I wanted to ask you about Ola Joseph here, Mike. His play time has been cut drastically. I'm not sure if he's injured, if he's hurt. What is the deal there with Ola Joseph? He hasn't played in double-digit minutes since, I believe, Michigan State. What can you tell me about him? Because when you're playing Zach Edey, you need all your big guys on the floor.
Yeah, good question. I think he's trying to figure out what his role is now that he's coming off the bench. I think he struggled. I don't think he's struggling with the idea. I don't think he's mad or ticked off or anything that he's not starting. I mean, at some point you knew that Pharrell Payne was going to have to take over the starting role, especially given the slow starts Minnesota had, and Pharrell Payne can only play one position, so it wasn't going to be one of those three guards that was coming out of the lineup. And so Ola Joseph has come off the bench in four games this year, four of the last five games. And in those games, he has 3 points total, not like per game. He's not averaging 3 games per game. In four games coming off the bench this year, he has 3 total points, one field goal and a free throw. He's like one, he's only taken 6 shots. And as you said, his minutes really dwindled. And I don't know the answer. I think one, his minutes were going to decrease just because you're not starting. But two, Parker Fox has emerged a little bit, and you earn your playing time. And Fox has been a factor in the last handful of games. He was a factor against Iowa as well. And I think Ben Johnson has turned to him as maybe that first big off the bench, and Ola Joseph is just still trying to figure it out. I think part of it was the coaching staff. This is me purely speculating. I don't have any. I haven't asked them about this, but I think part of it is they've grown a little frustrated with Josh, who has all the talent in the world. Look, the guy had like an 11-game streak of double-figure games, and he had 14 in the win just a couple of weeks ago against Penn State. He started that game. That was the one start he had in the last five. He had 14 and played like a man possessed in the second half of that game. So he's certainly talented. He certainly is a bona fide Big Ten player. But I think there's a combination of factors that have forced that production down. And I think the coaching staff has gotten frustrated with he loses too many guys on defense. For as good of an athlete as he is with his long arms, he kind of gets lost on defense and has given up some easy baskets. And so I think they're really pushing for him to, you know, dial in a little bit. With his athleticism and his length, he's only 6'7", so he's not really like, hey, I'm going to go in and bang. But he's got length. His arms are long. He can get off the floor quick. So he's capable of playing in the paint. That's where he's made a living in his career. His shooting percentage is incredible because he shoots, you know, a bunch of 2 to 5 footers, you know, quite often. So I think he's got to kind of adjust and figure out what that role is for him off the bench. Let the game. Ben Johnson, I asked him about it in the pregame of not this past game, but the game before. That same question you asked me, you know, what's going on? And he said he's just kind of got to learn to let the game come to him. If you remember, was it Northwestern? he came in and he like took three threes on like the first four possessions. Mm-hmm. And I think in his mind he was thinking, look, I want to be that, you know, microwave guy off the bench where I'm going to be instant offense and instant energy, and then you all of a sudden take some shots that normally, look, he's improved as a three-point shooter, so I think when he's open, you want him to take it, but I also think it has to come out of a good, you know, design offense, not just, hey, the first time I touch the ball, I'm going to crank up a three. So I think it's an adjustment for him. And again, I don't think he's like, pouting. I don't think he's mad that he's not starting. I just think he's trying to figure out what that is like now. Because even last year, remember, he started most of the games. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't been a bench player much this year.
Interesting. Talking with Mike Grimm, Gopher Radio play-by-play broadcaster. What would your plan be with Zach Edey tonight? And do you know anything about what Ben Johnson is hoping to do? I'm thinking you throw Parker Fox out there and let him foul out in the first 25 minutes, but you bully Zach Edey as much as you can down low, and you try to get him frustrated. Maybe he gets into foul trouble. There's no real answer, but what do you know about Ben Johnson's plan, and what do you think they could do to be effective down low?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I was going to make a terrible joke about, you know, trying to find what's this figure skater's boyfriend's name who whacked him on the knee or whacked it. I mean, and of course that's a terrible joke, but I don't know. I mean, that's a great question in terms of how you handle him. Some teams have tried to go small. Minnesota went small at Purdue last year, and Joshua Olajoseph got the start and the assignment, and actually early in that game it was working because Olajoseph was playing the perimeter on offense, and they were, you know, he had to go guard him because he's capable of making a three. And so when you come away from the rim a little bit, you don't have that rim protector if you work the ball well. I think JMO had some, actually Minnesota had a lead last year early at Purdue, if you remember, and then Purdue, mm-hmm. you know, put the hammer down and won the game. So, you know, you've got that as some strategy. The problem is on the other end then, Joshua Olajoseph was trying to guard a guy. Think about this. He's 6'7", and that means that Zach Edey is, what, 5 and 9 inches taller, right? I mean, that's incredible.
That's just
absurd.
7'4".
He's just a big, big, big human being who can move, run, got soft touch, the whole thing. And yet, you think about it, like, I'm still trying to figure out, I did not watch the game, but how does Farley Dickinson beat him? You know?
That's,
I mean,
yes.
How is
yes.
it possible? You know, last year in the tournament, the opening round, a 16-1, only the second time that's ever happened. You know, how is that possible? And so there are ways. And, you know, like I said, they're going to have to shoot well, Minnesota. And but I don't know. Jack Wilson is 6'11", 285 pounds, and built like he's, you know, carved out of granite. Maybe that's a guy you get in there and just try to build a wall, you know, keep him away, just bang around a little bit. Now, Jack Wilson, you mentioned foul out with Parker Fox. Jack Wilson, if he plays and is physical, he could foul out in 3 minutes, you know. I mean, that guy is physical and he looks big. But I promise you, Edey hasn't played a guy that size this year. So maybe this is a game we see him. Jack Wilson has only played in, I think, 3 Big Ten games, but maybe this is a game you try to utilize him. Problem with Parker is, while he's 6'8", he's a beanpole. I mean, Owen Freeman, as well as Parker, played against Iowa Saturday. Owen Freeman threw him around, and they weren't calling it, and that's fine. That Big Ten's a physical league, and Owen Freeman had 14 rebounds. And so while Parker played great, he really physically, in terms of just sheer strength, just it was hard for him to match what Owen Freeman was bringing. So I'm sure he'll have, at times, the assignment to try to guard Edey. And it might be a situation where he's going to have to use quickness to, you know. And then that's the age-old question. Do you double? Do you bring a guard in to clamp down to force Edey to pick the dribble up and then hope that they miss shots? Because Edie's so tall, you come and double, he can still see over and fire back out. Braden Smith is their point guard, great shooter. Foster Lawyer is one of the best shooters in the country. And then Lance Jones is a transfer from Southern Illinois who had been good all year, but he has kicked it into another gear the last, I'm going to say, 2 weeks or so. He's a guard, and that three-guard group, you know, that's why it's a pick-your-poison kind of thing with this group, and why if they shoot the ball, I mean, they're going to have to be cold some night, you know, from the floor. And that's how, you know, if they don't end up in the Final Four, that's how it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Galooly is who you're thinking of, Tanya Harding's boyfriend.
Yeah. Tanya Harding. I was trying to think the skater. Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. Yeah. What an awful joke that is.
But, tried,
Jeff Galooly, that's it.
You tried.
Jeff Galooly.
I gotta let you go really quick here, but I wanna get your thoughts before I let you go. I got 1 minute with you. Do you think this Gophers team can make the tournament?
Boy, that's a tough question because their net ranking right now wouldn't justify it, but and nor would their resume. The non-conference schedule was really light. That said, they've got some, including tonight, some quad one opportunities. So if you just got to stack up a bunch of wins. They're going to have to be over 500 in the Big Ten. They're at 500 right now, so they're going to have to win more than they lose. And hopefully pick the right games. If they could, you know, they have one quad one win right now. If they end up with 2, 3, or 4 and end up, you know, with 11 wins in the Big Ten, that put them in the discussion. So absolutely they can make it, but there is tremendous work to be done, and they would have to pull off a couple of upsets to do it. So let's all find clover leaves and cross our fingers and horseshoes and everything else and see if the basketball gods will look down upon the Gophers with favor.
You can always make a run in the Big Ten tournament as well. Mike Grimm of Learfield Radio Sports Network, Gopher Play-by-Play. Thanks so much for the time, Mike. Have a good one. We'll talk next week.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jake.